each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good Monday afternoon. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and it is my privilege, as I do every Monday, to be sitting in here for Father Anthony on Winds of Change here on AM 750 WNDZ and live streaming at windsofchangeshow.com. Well, we have a really interesting hour ahead of us today. For those of you who have always wanted to know about what your Kiwande was but were too afraid to ask, we have two experts who are not afraid to tell you all the answers to those questions. I have with me John Mauck of the law firm of Mauck & Baker and Brittany Booth, his associate, also of the law firm of Mauck & Baker, who have, sort of unusually for a law firm, taken this particular area of interest and have really endeavored to let as many people know about this wonderful piece of history from our Asian culture and trying to expand it and include it so that we as Americans have a better understanding of it and the acknowledgement that it gives to the dignity of unborn human life from its earliest stages. So, John and Brittany, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Well, oh, my goodness. Thank you for venturing down here over to St. Stanislaus. And so I'd like to just start by, John, if I could start with you. Tell me a little bit about the firm of Mauck & Baker and about your practice, and then why a law firm with the areas of practice that you have would, as I mentioned, endeavor to explain to people and help people better understand Kiwande.
Well, we can only give God the credit, Mary. We've been involved in religious freedom litigation for many years, principally representing churches that had zoning problems, that were trying to start a new church and they were being excluded or discriminated against because of race or because they were Pentecostal or Korean or whatever. And from there, we expanded into defending religious liberty, sidewalk counselors who were trying to counsel women who were thinking of having abortions and free speech issues and other.
So like peaceful protest in front of abortion clinics, that sort of thing?
Yeah. And then we had a landmark case out in Elgin where one pregnancy center was giving free ultrasounds to women at the local high school, and they were parking in a church parking lot next to the high school.
Okay.
The city didn't like it.
Oh, dear.
And so they came up with a law to shut them down, say you're violating the zoning. Well, we went in and challenged that, and were successful. And it was God was beginning to soften our hearts and expand our minds concerning helping the unborn. Because abortions have been declining due to ultrasound.
Right, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
people, oh, no, technology has absolutely been on, you know, the side of the pro-life movement really from day one.
Yes, and technology, because it's truth. And
right,
the truth
correct,
is,
of course, right.
Is coming out that this is a human being.
Right.
So as we won that case, and we worked with the Thomas More Society that you may may know.
Friends of the show here. They've been on our show before.
Yes, and Tom Breck is a friend from Evanston. We go way back, and we fought side by side.
Okay.
over the years.
So tell me, can I back up again to the Elgin case, to the ultrasound case? Who was it that brought suit against you? Was it the city or was it the local abortion facility?
No, the city told the pregnancy center, your mobile unit can't stay on that parking lot. You can only park there 4 times a year.
And Even though it was private property?
Private property, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, they invented something called temporary land use, and then they made it temporary land uses illegal more than 4 times a year, and then they shut them down.
Right.
So we went to federal court, and this is one of the fun parts about practicing law with God.
Right.
I told the leader of the pregnancy center, start praying that this case will be assigned to Judge Samuel Duryagan, who I knew was a very committed Christian who would give us a fair hearing. Because when you litigate these things, if you have a judge who's pro-choice or pro-abortion, it can be very difficult, even if the law's on your side. So there are 24 judges there, and they started praying, and the case was randomly assigned to this great judge.
Mm-hmm.
And he recognized immediately that the law was infringing, and this is really important. You'll love this as a lawyer, on a woman's freedom to choose. And he wrote the opinion, it infringes on a woman's freedom to choose life.
Right.
Because Roe versus Wade is the law of the land.
Right.
We fight against it. We argue against it. It is the law. But we want to use the law to that extent to say, why not let women have an informed choice? Let them see what the child inside them looks like. Maybe kicking, maybe breathing, maybe just being formed.
Right.
And they'll not kill that child.
Right.
So it was.
And there's a lot of statistical evidence to indicate that that's the case, correct? I mean, when women see ultrasound exams, they more often than not will then, even if they were very abortion-minded but prior to the procedures, prior to seeing the ultrasound, once they see that child and make that connection, you know, they tend to choose life for the child.
Yeah, the number I've been told is 80% of abortion-minded women who have an ultrasound change their mind.
It's way high, yeah.
And so this isn't the repeal of Roe versus Wade. This is working around it. And this is what we saw with the Thomas More Society. There's a law in Illinois that requires parental notification of minor women before they have an abortion.
Right.
And that was fought in the courts. It's passed into law in the 90s, but it was delayed by the ACLU and all of the pro-abortion forces for almost 20 years until the Illinois Supreme Court unanimously, 3 Republicans and 4 Democrats, ruled that parental notification was a valid law with some proper bypasses and so forth. And this also opened my mind, because when you have these conflicting sides coming together, 4 Democrat Supreme Court justices with 3 Republicans saying, young women need counsel. They don't have life experience. They don't understand what the results to them might be. And we argued the case, and the case was decided, the case was decided based on the woman's right to choose life.
Right.
So that is how we got led into the Kui Wan. You asked, how did a law firm get involved in pro-life stuff? Well, we litigated. And then when I saw those two cases both come down in 2014 within a month of each other, I said, God, what are you showing us?
Right.
And both cases were not decided as often argued. You know, we argued the Elgin case based on free exercise.
Right.
The pregnancy center has a right to speak and a right to share their faith.
Right.
And the parental notification was argued, parents have a right to know.
Right.
And both of those arguments were not the ones that convinced the courts. The courts said, let's look at the woman's right mm-hmm. to be fully informed and know right. what she's doing.
Right.
And the implementation of the parental choice law, I mean parental notification law, has been thousands of mm-hmm. lives saved
yeah.
in Illinois
right.
because the number of abortions has declined among minors so markedly that women are being helped and the children are being saved. And this led me to say, you know, we'd still like to get rid of Roe versus Wade, but that won't solve the problem.
Right. But, you know, that's, though, and I'm certainly Illinois' abortions have gone down along with the rest of the country, yet our numbers here are astronomically higher than the states surrounding us, who have much stricter parental, not just parental notification, but parental consent. So,
well, yeah, Illinois backtracked, of course. The right. parental notification came back when there were actually a few Republicans
right.
still in Illinois right. who respected that. But Illinois now pays for abortions for women who can't afford it. So mm-hmm. they're subsidizing.
And, as well as for all state employees.
Yeah, okay, right.
And you don't even have to be an Illinois resident in order to avail yourself of the free abortion. From what I understand, if you were a Medicaid recipient, you can cross over from Indiana or Wisconsin or Iowa and get your free abortion here.
So so that's, I think, why we're up, despite mm-hmm. the parental notification.
Oh, yeah, we are kind of an abortion travel destination. There's no question. And when you look at us compared to, like, I just did a talk up at Wisconsin Right to Life's annual dinner a few months ago. And they have a very helpful map, sort of the Midwest, and their numbers, even though Planned Parenthood just opened a new $7 million facility in Milwaukee, one of Milwaukee's nicer areas, where they have, get this, a play area. The play area attached to the abortion clinic so that, you know, if you have other kids with you, they can play while you're having your abortion. I know, you got to let that one marinate for a couple minutes before you can even talk about it, but I think they're... yearly number is 6,500 as opposed to ours, which is closer to like 29,000. So, so we have, I mean, almost four times. But again, part of it is that we have parental notification. Other states have parental consent, which is different, obviously, because parents have to give their consent. We have free abortions. Other states make you pay. We have later... You can go later for certain abortions, like at the Hope Clinic. My understanding is they're going up to 26 weeks there. And I think the Planned Parenthood in Flossmoor is going as high as 24 weeks.
Well, so, we have a culture of death.
Yes,
and that's
we do.
That's what we're trying to change.
Right. So, okay. So, well, with that background, you have a firm committed to not only religious liberty cases, but also to defending the rights of pregnancy centers and attempting to kind of try and dial back a little bit about the culture of death. Brittany, let me move over to you. How are you involved in the Kiwanday? Well, first of all, why don't we not keep our listeners in suspense any longer? Describe a little bit about Kiwanday and then tell me what your role is in helping to promote it.
Sure, yeah. So I started at the firm about 4 months ago. And
oh, you're a newbie. Then.
I know,
oh,
I am.
Well,
but
welcome.
I heard about Kiwanday and it was, at first I was like, what does that mean? I've never heard that word before. I thought it was a holiday that was already in existence that had to do with something with, you know, the Asian calendar. But as I learned about it, I really started to get attached to this concept and this idea because when you talk to people about pro-life, it's a very politically charged word. When you say pro-life, you are kind of limiting who you are reaching with your discussion. And so when we started to talk about Kiwan and what it is all about, it's about life and promoting, celebrating really the day you were created. Mm-hmm. And I found out that it allowed us to open up conversations with people who would either are on the fence about this issue or are even pro-abortion. And you tell them you can find out the day you were made, and it's really interesting. You can start conversations with saying, how old are you? Because you might not be as old as you think. And if they tell you they're 17 or they're 25, you say, maybe you're older than that. Let's find out your Kiwanday. And so we're finding that is a great opener for discussions about Kiwanday. And we have created a lot of resources to get people interested, including one thing that makes it unique is the calendar and the calculator that we have where you can calculate your own Kiwan Day based on your birthday.
So your Kiwan Day is essentially the day, celebrating the day of your conception rather than your first birthday.
Yes, correct.
So it'd be about 3 months after the day you were born, correct?
Yeah, it's about 280 days before your birthday.
Okay.
And you can even put in if you were born earlier or later than your due date, it adjusts for that as well.
Oh, no kidding. So, yeah. Oh, very interesting. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that. I have a friend who is Korean who, when their son was born, I don't recall that they called it Kiwan Day. It might have another name in Korean, but they had a big party for him on essentially his three-month birthday. And I thought that was such an interesting concept mm-hmm. at the time. And again, you know, without having to say anything about, you know, it being a pro-life sort of acknowledgement, mm-hmm. right, about the moment that you are who you are when you're conceived, right?
Right.
And that's the thing that I think it's that the pro-choice community and those who support legal abortion really just always try to overshadow that, right? The whole fact that's just simply science, that,
right.
you know, everything that you are is included at the moment of conception.
Yeah, but, and we're trying to teach people from a very young age, too. That's what we're trying to reach a lot of people, to start celebrating when they're young.
Right.
That life begins before your actual birthday, and just instill that into especially young people, that they will know exactly when their life begins.
Right. And so, but I know that you have a website for this, right? So I want to make sure that if our
yes.
listeners who are just tuning in now or just listening, I'd like them to be able to even to go and kind of follow along as we have our conversation. Brittany, what is that website, please?
The website is kiwanday.com. That's spelled Q-I-Y-U-A-N-D-A-Y.com.
Okay. Kiwanday.com. Okay. So if you'd like to come on and come online and check it out. There's even like Kiwan birthday cards. I was
yeah.
looking at it earlier today.
I have some with me today.
Sorry, Kiwan, I can call them Kiwan birthday cards, but Kiwan cards. You know, it's funny because I, when I was a younger lawyer, used to do a lot of debating on the abortion issue, and I would go to college campuses, and usually I debated someone either from NARAL or from Planned Parenthood. And NARAL, it must be one of the talking points in their manual. They have a debate manual that they send their, you know, employees out with. And it says, you know, one of the things they say is, we don't celebrate conception days. And I had remembered from my Korean friend that, yes, they do. I said, no, in some cultures, mm-hmm. they actually do celebrate
yeah,
conception days.
Yeah, and it's day. Chinese, actually.
So it's Chinese.
It goes back several thousand years.
Isn't that fascinating?
That the age is approximately 10 months prior to when you're born.
Okay.
So, yeah, at 2 or 3 months old, depending on the vagaries of the Chinese calendar, you're 1 year old.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the truth.
Now, do they right. have... Right, exactly. So do they... I mean, that's just, again, you know, I always loved when I'm starting to talk about the pro-life issue, I always begin it by saying, you know, we start with science. Everything mm-hmm. we talk about is based in science. And, you know, but God, who created science, right, of course, God can't contradict himself. So, you know, everything that we... that we talk about, of course, can be proven scientifically because, you know, God's a God of reason and a God of order. And so, you know, it simply goes to follow. But how, well, you know what? I think we are probably going to be going into a break in a second. So why don't we go into our first break before I start our next, my next line of questioning, which is going to be about how we let people know about Kiwan Day who might not be from an Asian culture or a Chinese culture, how we help them to appreciate just the beauty of what this day acknowledges. So, listeners, please stay tuned. This is Mary Fiorito. I am filling in for Father Anthony today here on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to a special observance of the 50th anniversary of Pope Paul VI's Humanae Vitae.
Tuesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. in the St. Mary Parish Hall, 19515 115th Avenue in Mokena, Illinois. Humanae Vitae 50 Years is open to all and proudly sponsored by Two Hearts Catholic Gifts and Books. Here, Father Loya, help us discover the truth and beauty in this prophetic writing of Pope Paul VI. Join Father Loya for Humanae Vitae 50 Years at St. Mary Parish Hall, 19515 115th Avenue in Mokena, Illinois, Tuesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ, and I am joined today by John Mauck of the law firm of Mauck & Baker, a law firm that specializes in religious liberty and abortion litigation cases. But John, tell me what other areas you practice, because I know it's not strictly limited to those two things.
Well, we have a general practice. We do real estate, estate planning, corporate work, pretty much whatever comes down the pike, because that's where we pay the bills. A lot of times we do the religious liberty work pro bono for those who are struggling to get their faith out.
Okay. And so how many lawyers are at your firm?
Right now they're, well, six as of today. We hired a new associate.
Okay. So. And if someone is, I would like to give you a little plug here. Someone is looking for, I often get, this is really one of the questions I get most frequently, is someone looking for either a Catholic or a Christian lawyer, but someone who understands the law from that perspective. So if people want to reach you or one of your colleagues, where do they go?
They go to 312-853-8709 is my direct line.
Okay. Or you can go to mauckbaker.com. That's MAUCKBAKER.com.
Okay, mauckbaker.com.
And excellent. All the contact info is there, too.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, all of the attorneys are believers. And if it's not the type of case that we handle, then we will refer people to other believers,
right.
Catholics or evangelicals,
right.
People who are following God.
Right, and that is so important. I always find, too, in particular, that's so important to people when they're older, like the number of people who are doing, say, wills and estates and trusts and, you know, particular end-of-life issues, and they want people who, a lawyer to put together sort of an end-of-life package, if you will, that you know, reflects their Christian dignity and reflects their Christian values and reflects their understanding of, you know, our concerns about and treatment and care at end of life. So I would say that's probably the number one request I would get.
Yeah, and an important aspect there, Mary, is people spend a lifetime saving up their money and want to use it for God.
Right.
When they pass on. And sometimes it ends up being used against God because the institution or the college they're going to is now performing gay marriages or other things. So we help people set up their estate plan so that they don't defeat the whole purpose that they've been trying to accomplish throughout their lifetime.
Right, exactly. And that's and so that's very important. So it's good to know that there are firms. I think sometimes people don't even know that there are law firms like this that really have very Christ-centered approach to all the work that they do, and that the lawyers who, no matter which lawyer you get when you call the firm, you're going to get somebody who will, you know, get what you're talking about.
And we'll
about,
pray
right?
with you.
Oh, see, God, you know,
absolutely.
I'm so happy you raised that. That is so important. I have a friend who was a charismatic Christian who was our broker when we were looking for our house. And I am not joking. So we would stand in front of these houses and she would pray and she would say, Lord, if they are not supposed to have this house, put some, and you know, and I don't know if you've ever gotten kind of this kind of feeling that especially if you're making a big decision like this, if it's right or if it's wrong, God gives you peace about it. And, you know, I just remember when we got the house that we got, which we should not have gotten. I mean, there was another couple outbidding us at every turn. And for some reason, you know, but our realtor stood there and prayed in front of the house. And she said, Lord, if they are supposed to have it. So I am a big believer in bringing God into those decisions. You know, the priest at my parish was just saying it to us in a sermon 2 weeks ago. You know, we think we make choices, but often our choices make us. They make who we are, especially the big choices. So to really pray before you're making a big choice, you know, like buying a house or like where you're going to send your kid to college, or because those choices often wound up making who you are. So, and legal choices can be the most influential of all in your life, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, so terrific. Well, let's get back. So this wonderful firm is, you know, on its own initiative and with its own funding, promoting something, listeners, called Kiwande, which is a way to celebrate and to acknowledge the fact that you are who you are at the moment of conception. And, you know, I was just, this sort of came up, interestingly enough. John and I, listeners, and Brittany were talking before the show started about the Kavanaugh hearings, which have, Brett Kavanaugh's hearings, which have taken up a lot of my professional time in the last 10 days or so. But there was a point in the hearing when he was talking about certain abortifacient drugs and whether or not some types of contraceptive medicines can cause abortifacients, and his words were completely twisted out of context, and NARAL and Planned Parenthood and the abortion groups were saying, you know, Brett Kavanaugh is saying that contraception causes abortion, and what if it, which is not what he said, right? But it was interesting because I think it was the Federalist wrote an article about ACOG, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, changing the definition of pregnancy, which they did after the advent of the birth control pill, because pregnancy was defined at conception, but after the advent of the birth control pill, it was redefined as implantation. So several days after conception, because sometimes the birth control pill can work between the moment you're conceived and then the moment that you implant in the uterine wall. So when you're making that little trip there. And so it's interesting that the definition was actively changed. But Kiwande is this beautiful acknowledgement that, you know, like I think it's Williams Obstetrics, which is the most widely used obstetrical textbook in the country, calls the moment of conception like a nuclear explosion. So profound are its implications from nothing to something. And so I love that. I have it obviously. I have it committed to memory. I've used it in many a debate. But because I think it just sums up so beautifully what you go from nothing to something within a moment. Isn't it fair? So this day acknowledges that.
Oh, yes. And it celebrates that. This is the celebration of life. And it's very easy to celebrate. Anybody who's ever had a birthday party or given a birthday party can give a Kiwande party.
Right.
A Kiwande party.
Can you have both?
Absolutely.
See, that's good. I like that.
You can even celebrate your half birthday.
See, that's right. We do half birthdays, yeah. Right?
Well, that's what my granddaughter was telling me the other day, a few days ago. She's in first grade, and she came home, and she was talking about half birthdays. Kids love celebrations. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity to help them emotionally. Intellectually, we understand and we can teach when the child is created, when life begins. Mm-hmm. But we need to tackle this problem not just on the medical and scientific level, because people who understand that still go ahead and have abortions. That's why ultrasound pictures help convey that truth. And emotionally, when we celebrate birthdays, a lot of people think, well, life didn't begin until I was born.
Yeah.
I'm 18, and that's 18 years old, and now I can drink, or 13 is my bar mitzvah, and so forth. But this is changing the clock, so you're realizing, hey, I've been alive 9 months before I was born.
Yeah, and what Kiwande is doing is we're creating a lot of memorable and fun ways to realize that your life started on day one, and we want to create ways that are easy and fun for people to remember every time that date comes around and even throughout the year. So one thing people will find on our website are, I think we have five cards. They're paper cards, or you can do e-cards, that show you in various stages in the womb and what you would look like, and kind of poke fun at, you know, what stage you're at and if you're moving around. We have one that says the littlest ninja with little ninja headband because you're kicking your mom at however many months that is.
I had a kid like that. Boy, nobody could tell me she was not alive. That was
right.
I can still remember it.
Of course, you know, this is all sort of confirmed by ultrasound, right? I mean, you were who you were the minute you were. And so it's always such a frustration for me that, you know, the pro-choice movement attempts to paint us as anti-intellectual when they consistently are denying the facts that are in science, right? And
right.
So I love that this is a way where, you know, people often ask me, John, and let me kind of pose this question to you, because they think unless they're out sort of doing things like I do, like writing and talking and speaking, debating, they're not doing anything to help end the culture of death. So tell me, like from your vantage point, from where you sit, you're doing it in a different kind of way that I do it or that Brittany does it, but what can the average person do who just hears these abortion stories and is horrified? What can you do?
Oh, tremendous amount of things. You can save lives, everybody who's listening to me. And there's a number of ways. Starting with finding out your own Kwee-Wan, and then for your family, and so they get cards, and then begin to celebrate with your family, and have parties, and this is going to be long-term changing the game, because the truth is, Mary, many children, many young women from Christian families end up with a problem having abortions, and they regret it the rest of their lives.
But, oh, of course, yeah.
But if we can educate them early and emotionally, so this isn't just an intellectual, but this is a reality check, then you can go from celebrating, and if you go to the website, you'll see the info, you can become a Kwee-Wan coordinator.
Oh.
Very easy to do.
Oh, cool.
Just go to your pastor and say, look, we'd like to end abortions or change the culture of death. And so if you'll give me the birthdays of our parishioners or church members, we'll send them greetings from the pastor, from the church on your Kwee-Wan Day.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Schools.
That's a great
every
idea.
Schools. Now, we have a Christian school in Lake County that's just instituted this. It's on their curriculum, and they're going to be celebrating the Kwee-Wan Day for every child in that school. And instead of, I think this ought to replace the half birthday. Maybe we'll end up with three celebrations, Kwee-Wan, half birthday, and birthday. But the idea is if we can just have fun and celebrate life, we're not coming directly against the abortionists, because there are people out there that want abortions to be rare, even though they may think of themselves as being pro-choice, but they want them to be rare. And if women are informed through ultrasound, through Kwee-Wan, through medical science, they're going to have fewer abortions. We're going to save lives. So every person listening here could save 5, 10, 100 lives in their lifetime, or even more. They should pray and say, God, do you want me to be part of this and be a Kwee-Wan coordinator?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's such an easy thing to do, right? And it's not controversial, and you're not, you know, because some people really, they shy away from anything involving conflict, but this is a very low-key.
Yeah, it's very tangible.
Right.
You don't have to go stand in front of abortion clinics and protest. You can promote life and celebrate it within your own home.
Now, Brittany, that's a beautiful, it's very tangible. I love that word. Well, we're going to go to a tangible break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Brittany Booth and John Mauck of the law firm of Mauck & Baker discussing Kwee-Wan Day. This is Mary Helen Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
On Saturday night, October 6th, from 7 until 9, at St. Stanislaus Kostka, Father Angel Espinoza will give a special talk on the urgent need to train your children in the seven fields of true education. The talk will be in Spanish. Here's Cristina to tell you more.
El sábado 6 de octubre de 2018, en las 7 de la tarde a las 9 de la noche, la parroquia de San Estanislao Kostka y el Padre Ángel Espinosa los invitan a una conferencia sobre cómo les estamos enseñando a nuestros hijos la fe. Estamos enseñando la fe popular y nada más por encima? ¿O realmente estamos enseñándoles a vivir la fe de una manera profunda, a practicarla diariamente en su vida? Regístrate y compra tu boleto de $30 en la página del web www.ststanschurch.org. El cupo es limitado. Solo se venderán 5 boletos por persona. Para más información, favor de llamar a la parroquia al 773-278-2470. De nuevo, 773-278-2470. De nuevo, el sábado 6 de octubre del 2018, de las 7 de la tarde a las 9 de la noche, en la iglesia de San Estanislao Kostka, ubicada al 1327 Norte de la Noble en Chicago. Los esperamos.
For complete information and ticket purchase information, go to ststanschurch.org and click on the events tab.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
And welcome back. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. I am joined today by John Mauck of the law firm of Mauck and Baker and his associate, Brittany Booth. And we are talking about Qi Wan Day, which is a celebration that originated in China to acknowledge the one-year anniversary of the conception of a child. So it is typical, and I learned this from a Korean friend, so I have been going around all these years thinking this was a Korean holiday, but it is apparently not, but it has transcended the shores to Korea. It is customary, and with my friends, they did not have a first birthday party for their son. They had the Qi Wan party, or I think that's what it was called, something like that. I think it's a little bit different in Korean, but they didn't have a first birthday. That was kind of his first birthday party. So it was a very beautiful experience. I was so moved by it. And so your hope is to make this, to make Qi Wan really sort of a household name, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. As much as there's a happy birthday, we're hoping there'll be a happy Qi Wan Day, that kids will celebrate it, that they'll love it, they'll look forward to it, and, Mary, that they'll be enlisted. That is, children themselves will go tell other children, what's your Qi Wan Day? Here's
right.
My Qi Wan Day. Do you want to come to my Qi Wan party? And children will come to that Qi Wan party, and they'll say to their mom and dad, when's my Qi Wan? And
right.
Mom and dad will say, what?
Right.
And say, well, I want a party too, and I want Mary and Tommy to come to that party.
Right.
And that can spread. Teenagers who sit in the pews.
Right.
And they go to classes and they learn. But this gives them an opportunity to roll up their sleeves and be involved.
Right.
We have a sophomore at a high school in Lake County who's decided to become the Qi Wan coordinator for her school. And she'll get the birthdays. She'll send out the cards. She'll pass around the message. She will save lives.
Mm-hmm.
And children want something meaningful. And they can do this.
Right. And it's planting that seed very early on, I think, in a child's heart and mind, mm-hmm. that you are who you are. I know, keep repeating myself, from the moment you're conceived. And, you know, and what I love, and you mentioned sort of working through churches as well, because this is so based in Scripture, is it not? I mean, when we look at, you know, the moment of Jesus's conception, right? You go back into Luke's gospel and you look at that beautiful moment when Gabriel says to Mary and Mary consents. And, you know, we have
you know, Jesus in all of his humanity and divinity is present at that point, right? And
amen.
And so you can use this as part of.
And John the Baptist leaping for joy.
Well, you just stole that from me, but I was just going to say that when we're talking about, right, that what we, in the Catholic Church, that's something, the feast we call the Visitation, where we actually have a feast day where we remember that when Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And, you know, again, you know, John, who's the first person in Scripture to recognize Jesus? It is another unborn, other than his mother, it is another unborn child who recognizes
yes.
wow, him yeah. and then leaps. And so you have one unborn child, you know, acknowledging another unborn child. And there's a beautiful painting done by a Dutch artist from like the 1600s, but it shows Mary and Elizabeth, and you can see inside the baby's wombs, and you see the two babies sort of talking to each other. It's very beautiful. But when, if you kind of look at the sort of logistics of that scriptural story, maybe it was a month after, I mean, because it said Mary went in haste, right? She knew
yes.
right away, and she went in haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth. So, you know, for, you know, making up for travel times or whatever, give it 6 weeks. So Jesus was still very much a very small unborn child at that time. Yet Scripture tells us he was, you know, what does Elizabeth say to Mary? Who am I that the mother of my Lord will come to me, right? So she's acknowledging Jesus as her Lord, who's only about 6 weeks in his mother's womb, right?
Not, yes.
Who might potentially develop into becoming my Lord, but it's actually, she acknowledges him in all of his fullness.
And let me tell you about how I hope this can be used
yeah,
evangelistically
yes.
for all types of believers. When we get into the argument with pro-abortionists, you know, it's often we come to a standstill. People's hearts are hardened. But babies and birthday parties transcend.
Right.
And they can be celebrated. And the Kwewan approach, and you look at our website, it's not come to Jesus. It's not become a Catholic.
Right.
It's celebrate life. And sometimes we need to build bridges. When people start doing that and start celebrating Kwewan days, my hope is that will help them emotionally see what life is and that God has given life. And then they can take the next steps coming closer to the Lord. I'm convinced that will happen, and I want to talk a little bit about prayer, too, because how many prayers to end abortions have gone up before the Lord? Right?
Countless.
Millions.
We could put
millions.
Them, you know, if we tie them all together, we'd probably encircle the earth, I think, at this
yeah,
point. But.
Yeah, and my point is God hears those prayers. God's heart is broken as he breaks our hearts as we weep in prayer for the unborn and for the mothers who are hurting, who've aborted their children.
Right.
And we feel this is one of the ways God answers prayer, and that the listeners who want to be involved celebrating Kwewan or becoming a Kwewan coordinator can themselves offer themselves to God and say, God, I know your heart is broken. My heart is broken. Help me.
Right.
To.
And, you know, and we can all do, and this is what I'm saying over and over and over again when I give my talks, you can all do your little bit, right? I mean, and God, this is a big, diverse movement. And that's sort of one of the beauties of the pro-life movement is it is a movement that has tremendous diversity. You have people from all walks of life, from all sorts of gifts and skill sets. But everybody can do something, right? You can all do a little something, whether it's just putting up, you know, a cute ultrasound picture that you find online on your Facebook page. You don't have to do anything other than just, you know, you don't have to be in the middle of the culture war. You just occasionally put a little subtle thing up there, you know, in order just to, again, it's all planting seeds, I think, at certain
yes.
points. And, but Jen, so tell me, here's just a question I was thinking. So here, so we're dealing with China, right? The origins in China, which is a country that, you know, despite the efforts of many, many a missionary, right, both Catholic and Protestant, it's been very, very hard to evangelize that country, the Asian countries in particular. I think Korea is probably one of the few countries that was ever, I think, really evangelized. Japan, Japan's one of the only, I think, is the only Asian country where the missionaries were never really able to make inroads was Japan. And but so you're dealing with largely, you know, if you'll excuse the term, a pagan culture, correct? It does not know the Lord. in any way. And how interesting. And you know, prayers for China, and of course the number of abortions in China, particularly of baby girls, forced abortions. You know, we have a, I'm on the board of a pregnancy center and maternity home here in Chicago, and we have a client who was essentially a refugee from China. She was pregnant with her third child, who was a girl. She had not registered her second child. So she got on a plane knowing no one in Chicago, and was we found her at a day's living and a day's in at O'Hare. Yeah, and she's been living with us for the last couple. So I have, you know, I'm particularly because of this woman, you know, who I just think is a beautiful, has a beautiful little girl who would melt your heart if you saw her now. I'm very sensitized to it. How do you think this came about from, isn't it interesting? It's just so interesting to me that this is the culture it came out of, not like, you know, like a big, like an Ireland or an Italy, someplace where, you know, families are big and people love life. And do you have any thoughts on that?
I haven't really given it too much thought, Mary, but I'm sure it antedates the dictatorships and the communist type attitudes.
Well, that's a good point.
Chinese probably had very large families if they could feed them.
Right.
Because China got pretty big.
Right. Pretty big, pretty fast, right?
Yeah. Much bigger than any other country in terms of population. So they were celebrating life in the ways that lots of rural populations do, which mm-hmm. is have a child every year or every year and a half.
Right.
Keep popping them out until you got 10 or 12.
Right.
And then the population explodes.
Yeah.
And that's a blessing.
Right.
In God's eyes.
Well, yeah, Scripture is very clear about that, right? Shoots around your table, your children.
And so they must have loved keeping track
but isn't
of the birthdays.
Isn't it interesting, though, that even, you know, you find sometimes, at least I guess in the common law, references to quickening, right?
So, yes.
But they seem to have been, they were not dealing with quickening. They were going all the way back. So that's so interesting to me that they weren't waiting for quickening or anything like that to acknowledge that life was there. And again, from a culture that didn't have our perspective and didn't have the gospel example of
Jesus.
Well,
it shows God's everywhere.
Right, there you go.
And giving different gifts.
Right.
And distributing them around to other people, and
right.
we can learn from them.
Right. Well, we'll continue this conversation about what we can learn from all sorts of different cultures and people. When we return, this is Mary Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others, Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org.
And welcome back. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And this hour is flying by, and we're in our last segment, which I can't even believe because I feel like we're just getting started. We are discussing Kiwan Day, which is the Asian tradition of acknowledging the one-year anniversary of a child's conception. And I'm talking with John Mauck of the law firm Mauck & Baker and his associate Brittany Booth. And Brittany, tell me a little bit about the different ways that different types of organizations can be involved in promoting Kiwan Day. You mentioned to me pregnancy centers.
Yeah, in addition to, like we said, we started implementing this within a school in the form of sex education and really teaching kids about this through that. And then also churches as serving opportunities. We really want to be able to promote this within pregnancy centers as well. That's the optimal place, really, for...
Now, why do you say that? That it's...
Yeah, because people who come to pregnancy centers come from all walks of life, and many times I think they are neither pro-life or pro-choice. They're really on the fence about what decision to make with their pregnancy, and if we can show them that the life of their baby has already begun... even a week into their pregnancy, I think it can really turn a lot of people to change their minds and make a decision for life.
And pregnancy centers, one of their purposes is to save babies.
Right.
Now, it's great to save babies 2 hours before the baby's going to be aborted.
Right.
Praise God and, yeah. And triple
and
hallelujahs.
Yes, right.
However, you still save that baby's life if you save it 10 years before it's aborted. Every pregnancy center has a mailing list. They have employees. The pregnancy centers, we hope, would be out front in helping people get their Kiwan Days and telling every one of their supporters, here's your Kiwan Day, and sending them free cards, which we can do electronically, mm-hmm. And if you want to do it with a paper card, it's very inexpensive. But they should be teaching their own constituency, their own financial supporters, to help their financial supporters, because some of their financial supporters, their daughters are going to have abortions if they're not emotionally connected in every way possible and protected.
Right.
And so these pregnancy centers already are committed to saving lives,
well, yeah,
and this is just a simple way to triple your ministry.
Right. Well, I just, you know, I'm grateful for that more in-depth explanation, because I was kind of thinking, now, how would a pregnancy center really work this in? But, you know, I'm on the board of a really wonderful pregnancy center in Chicago called Aid for Women, and we were so grateful to get ultrasound machines donated to our centers by the Knights of Columbus, which is a Catholic fraternal organization. And so we have had tremendous success with showing moms who might be undecided and frightened an ultrasound picture of their child, and that helps a mom to decide in favor for her child's life. But coupled with that, you know, you can show the ultrasound and then say, gosh, your baby's Kiwan Day.
Yes.
Say you're there, you know, whatever, October 30th, your baby's Kiwan Day would have been October 1st. And wow, this is just, you got to remember this for next year.
Yeah.
And here's a card and here's the certificate.
Yes. So, amen.
It turns it into a happy, happy opportunity
right.
to be able to celebrate.
Right, exactly. So to go back and to kind of say, hey, and this is when your baby's Kiwan. So it's another form of connection with that child, and especially for a woman who might be very abortion-minded, it gives her just another thing to think about, you know? And I worked for the Catholic Church for many years and was part of our Project Rachel ministry, so I have a lot of training in that, and that's our ministry to women who've had abortions. And I think, to a woman, I don't think I ever talked to one who didn't know the day of her abortion. And so, I mean, they remember it, and isn't it fascinating,
yeah.
you know, who
yes.
could tell you the day and sometimes even the time that they did it. So how about we replace a memory like that with a memory like this? Because the dates are, when you're having a new life, when a new life is, God is creating a new life, the dates matter, don't they? I mean, when God is, that moment of God's action matters.
They do, and we know, it may seem hard, but we know God can heal. And
oh, of course.
Does heal.
Oh, I've seen it.
And not by burying these.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We talked about Kwiwan with one of the pastors of the churches we represented, and I, far south side, I asked the pastor to think about implementing it, and he had a Bible study on a Wednesday night, and he talked about it, and people seemed to be interested. But one of the members of his church in her 50s called him aside afterwards, and she said, Pastor, I've never told anybody about this, but when I was 18, and only people that know this were my boyfriend at the time, who was the father of my child, I had an abortion, and it's haunted me mm-hmm. all of my life.
Yeah.
And just by talking about it,
right,
she was able to confess to him and get counseling and begin the healing process.
Right.
There's so many people out there who are hurting, and I thank you for recognizing how this can be healing.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And in fact, you know, just to go back to the beginning of the show, that charismatic realtor I told you about, that's how I met her. She is a post-abortive woman who talks, you know, she did it before she knew the Lord, and her husband was having an affair, and he didn't want the woman he was having the affair with to know he was still having relations with his wife, so he pressured her into having an abortion. And she said, I didn't know the Lord, and I was weak, and I did it. But now she is on fire for doing things to help other women, not only helping other women make the right choice, but also helping other women who've been wounded by abortion and showing them, listen, there is life after this. And, you know, and she has a little party every year for what would have been, you know, her daughter's birthday.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful? But see how God, you know, nothing is lost, right? Yeah. Nothing is lost with God. So, and this is just, I just love every part of this Kwiwan movement, if you will. Brittany, what are some other ways? So you talked about pregnancy centers. Give me some, and we've talked a little bit about churches and a little bit about schools. Tell me how you're working. It sounds like at this point you're mostly working in the Protestant community. Would that be correct? Or have you been able to branch out a little bit?
We're evangelicals,
right.
And so most of the people we know are evangelicals, but we have a lot of close relationships.
Well, you start with what you know. You start with what you know,
yeah,
which is
right. And the reason we're here, we're hoping to reach Catholics. Catholic schools, we think, are a prime area, and I hope we can get introduced to some cardinals or bishops who can say,
if I can arrange that for you, bring up the phone,
who could say, hey, this works, and tell the parents, here's another thing we're doing to celebrate your child's life, to make them feel recognized, and to instill in them deep emotionally that their life began at conceptions.
And just too, you know, when you see, you know, especially, I think I love that you have someone at a Christian high school who was already working on this, because I think you see so much sort of angst among teenagers, and they're so concerned about who's liking their Twitter posts and who's following them on Instagram, and, you know, they're and of course, this is not really anything new, right, in terms of the teenage brain, in terms of looking for meaning and looking for an idea that you matter. Right. And that's what I think so much of the social media is, that I matter to somebody. But if you're focusing on this Kwiwan Day and about the moment that we are going to focus on, the moment that God created you, that something happened. You weren't random. You weren't, you know, a mistake. That God created you with a purpose. I just think in terms of even like emotional healing for teenagers suffering from that sort of anxiety or depression or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That can be a great blessing.
Channel them. One of the proudest moments of my life was when my youngest daughter marched in a pro-life parade at Evanston the 4th of July in her cheerleader uniform from Evanston High School. And I think that just cemented her. She has such a strong faith now and two children, is so strongly pro-life because they got out there.
Right.
And I think kids that go on the pro-life marches, they find some purpose and they channel that angst because they're wondering, who am I? Why am I here? And when we give them an avenue and say, you can save a life, you can save many lives by being a coordinator at your school or just Facebook acknowledgement. There's risk. God doesn't make it easy, but there's an avenue.
Right. Well, What a beautiful way to end, I think. That music is a sign that we're going to be wrapping up our conversation. But Brittany, again, just before we go, that website one more time, please.
Sure. It's kiwanday.com, kiwanday.com.
Kiwanday.com. Listeners, thank you for joining us for this wonderful conversation. Thank you to John Walk and to Brittany Booth for your presence here today. Goodbye. God bless you. Have a beautiful week.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.